Our final scripture lesson this morning comes from the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 65, verses 17 through 25. You'll find this starting on page 1164 of your pew Bibles. Behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and crying will be heard no more. Never will there be in it an infant who dies but a few days, an old man who does not live out his years. He who dies at 100 will be thought a mere youth. He who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and other live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the work of their hands. They will not toil in vain or build children doomed to misfortune, for they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, but dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy, all on my holy mountain, says the Lord. Okay, I'm going to do something that's going to make you feel uncomfortable. I'm going to make you actually participate. Think. And if you need to close your eyes, do this. Imagine heaven. Imagine what heaven looks like for you. For all the introverts in the room, you need to imagine that there are other people there. I know, like for me, I close my eyes and I see a big open field. Doesn't work for this. So imagine heaven. Heaven has to have other people in it. Look around at the other people. Look at them, see who they are, see what they look like, see what they're doing. Just imagine them. I had to kind of do a little bit of this, keep thinking about it while I talk, but I had to do a little bit of this as I prepared for Kara's funeral. I had somebody that I trust make me think about some things about heaven. And so I want you to look at the people and then get them in your mind and answer a few questions. Are any of those people communicating in sign language? Are any of those people blind? Are any of those people in a wheelchair? And because I know your answer is no, why not? We're gonna go there. Now, for the couple people that are here that were at Kara's funeral, this is gonna feel kind of familiar. But just something to think about. Why do none of these things exist in heaven for you? We tend to think of heaven being filled with people like us. The same typically able-bodiedness, the same typically mindedness. We think of heaven being full of people like us. And I'm not even going to talk about the race of the people in the heaven that you created in your mind, though you should probably think about that too. But just, why does heaven need to be people that are typically abled like us and not have anyone who is differently abled, and they're in the state that they were in heaven. Now, I know I'm going to lead us into the weeds. And so before I even get in there, I'm going to say this. I believe in my heart of hearts that when we get to the next place, our suffering has ended. Our pain has ended. God has taken all of that away from us. As we talk about this, I do not want you to think that I'm saying that people are going to go to heaven and still be in pain. That's not what I'm saying. And I don't want you to think that I think people go to heaven with their suffering. That's not what we're going for here. But I want to lead us into the weeds a little bit. Now, I think about my grandfather. My grandfather had polio as a child. And so the whole time of his adult life, he was in a lot of pain. He could barely walk 100 feet without being in excruciating pain. His death is actually related to some of his post-polio symptoms. It had affected his heart in a way that wasn't known before. He was in pain on earth. And so I believe when God welcomed him home, his pain was relieved. I believe that. But I think there's something to this idea that people need to be fixed before God welcomes them into heaven. That somehow I, as I physically am today, can walk into heaven without any corrections. And here's the pearly gates, and I just get to walk in. But somebody who's differently abled, God has to fix them before they can go into heaven. God has to correct them before they can go into heaven. Somehow, I am complete enough as I am, physically, to get into heaven. But somebody differently abled, they're not complete enough to get into heaven, and God needs to complete them before they can get into heaven. Because I can't help but think of Kara. That beautiful soul. That was incapable of hating. Getting frustrated, yes. But incapable of hating. Incapable, really, of malice. That somehow God needs to make her more complete to go into heaven. That God needs to somehow make her whole because she wasn't whole here. And that's, for me, I struggle with that. Now, I know that God needs to fix me so I don't ruin heaven when I get in there. I know the state of spiritual disrepair that I am in. I have a feeling most of you also know, yes, spiritual disrepair, this guy. I know that that needs to be fixed. I know that I need that healing before I go into heaven. I know that I have wounds and brokenness and sinfulness that need to be taken away from me. And I cannot imagine a heaven where I don't need to be repaired to get in. But someone like Kara, I cannot imagine a heaven where Kara, as she was, would not be welcomed. I can't imagine that. Now, I know that all suffering and pain ends when we leave this place. But imagine instead of heaven requiring you to be physically changed, the heaven is just perfectly accessible. That no matter what physical state you come to, your ableness does not prevent or enable your enjoyment of heaven. That if you were blind on earth from birth, that you don't somehow need to be different to experience heaven. If you were deaf on earth, that you could communicate the way that you communicated. That heaven is not designed to fix all of us in this form, but maybe heaven is created so that we all can be present in it as we are. And I know I'm getting into the weeds. I really struggled with presenting this as the Word of God. My brokenness notwithstanding, I really wrestled with, am I really giving the good message here? Am I really hearing God or not? And I can see in some of your faces that some of you are really not with me on this one. And that's fair. But we tend to look at people, and if they are not the same sort of able-bodied that we are, we think they need to be fixed, that they are somehow incomplete as they are. That they are less whole than we are, those of us who are typically abled. And we like to fix, and it's really hard to fix the systems that make their life more difficult on this earth. And so we want to fix them. And it's really difficult to fix our own hearts and minds to have more compassion and love to make their lives better on this earth. And so we want to fix them because we can see that thing that we could fix or long to be fixed at the end. But imagine, just imagine heaven is not full of typically abled people, but instead is full of people who are who they are on earth, that God sees them and calls them beloved and complete and welcomes them in as they are, repairing the souls, ending the suffering and pain, but allowing them to be who they are, whole and complete as they are here. And I know, again, we're in the weeds, but I'm gonna pull us out. Because if that is an image of heaven, and scripture is frustratingly vague and abstract about heaven, so I'm pulling at as many strings as the rest of you. Like, I can't tell you what heaven is for any of us. But if that is a version of heaven, then maybe we can work to make this place to lessen the suffering of those that are differently abled than us. And I'm not even going to talk about our healthcare system or the politicization of healing. And not going to talk about that. Maybe you should think about it, but I'm not going to talk about that. I'm just going to talk about accessibility. Making a conscious effort to make sure that everyone can participate in the fullness of life, the fullness of church. Like my frustration that sometimes I can't be heard, which is a person who's never not heard, that's a thing for me. Like that's... But I know that people cannot always participate in the fullness of even this worship service. Even with the accessibility improvements we've made, there are people who can't participate in the fullness of this service. And I want to find a way to fix that. And we can do that in our own lives. Look at what you're doing. Think about what would make it more accessible. What would make it more compassionate for those who are differently abled? What would make it more loving and hopeful? Again, I do not know what heaven holds. Maybe I'm completely off base. Maybe I have no idea what I'm talking about, and that's fair. But I know that we can do things here to reduce suffering and pain. So let's do that. Let's open our hearts for more compassion, open our hands to show more love, and make this world just a little bit less painful for all of God's children, whole and complete.